Welcome to Music Fishbowl.
Hello everyone, welcome to Music Fishbowl, music chatter for all. Today I've got a fantastic episode once again, slightly different in terms of the type of guests I've got, as they are also a podcast host. I'm really looking forward to actually you hearing their podcast as well as mine. But before I get into that, let's get into some housekeeping. Obviously, as always, sounding like a stuck record, but genuinely do appreciate it so much. Thank you to all of you for listening to the podcast. It's an utter dream that I even get to have one, let alone that people actually listen and enjoy it. So thank you so much. Your kindness and your time and everything you do is appreciated to the max. I really also appreciate people who share the podcast. You're one of the reasons why this podcast has grown so much in the last year. You're also one of the reasons that it works and the reason for me to keep going. So thank you so much. I will say, if you haven't already, do feel free to subscribe to the podcast on Spotify. The reason being is when you do, it means you get notified of a new release, but you also, you can set it to download automatically. Every download, as far as I'm aware, counts as a listen, so it does help out in that way as well. The next thing I just want to mention is that if you want to be a guest on the podcast, do let me know. Just drop me an email, musicfishbowl123@gmail.com, or DM me on @thisisvinyl.tap. That's probably the easiest way to do it, to be fair. If you're a musician or an artist, someone who works in the music industry in some way, a podcast host like today, a music fan, which is also like today, and or anyone with a vinyl account, anything music-based, or if you just want to talk about music, come on, let me know, and we'll sort out a time for you to come and have a chat with me. Other than that, though, I think we just need to get into today's guest. So today's guest is your favourite cousin. He presents the Bare Naked Truth podcast. The Bare Naked Truth podcast is fantastic, I have to say. I've been listening ever since we've been in talks of making this episode happen. I'm really excited for you to all listen. Make sure you subscribe to their podcast as well if you do enjoy it. You can find them online very easily on Spotify, but other platforms are also available as well. At @B_N_T podcast is where you can find them on Instagram. We had a great chat. Your favourite cousin used to actually be an artist as well. He did work in the industry as an artist, so we do talk a lot about that. But we also talk about actually how you work with your children on their music tastes, how you let them have their own music tastes, etc. We talked about hip-hop music a lot today, talks about R&B quite a bit as well. So it's a very good episode to listen to. Lots of really great juicy stuff that we can get our teeth into in the conversation. We talk about the state of the music industry, etc. I think that's enough of me. Let's get your favourite cousin on. Hello everyone, welcome back to the main section of today's podcast where I have my guests with me. I have a slightly different guest today because they actually also have their own podcast as well. I've got your favourite cousin from the Bare Naked Truth podcast. Hello.
What's going on, man?
Hey, I'm good, thank you. Yeah, I'm really good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Thank you so much for coming on, by the way. I really want to get into not just the podcast yourself that you've got, but also what makes you tick musically, etc.
Okay.
So can you tell me a bit about the Bare Naked Truth podcast and what you do on there?
Yeah, so the Bare Naked Truth podcast, you know, we're a podcast. You know, we basically like to talk about different things, you know, relationships, parenting, lifestyle, all that good stuff, you know what I mean? So we basically cover all the grown-up issues, man. We just like to have fun and, you know, crack jokes and just, you know, just enjoy the atmosphere.
Yeah. I've been, I totally get what you're saying there, because since we've had this, had this, you know, this recording in the talks, I've been listening to the episodes that have been coming out. It's so refreshing to hear a podcast that's so positive and just, you know, it's almost like a zero space for no negativity, isn't it?
Yeah, sort of, kind of. Like, we try not to, you know, be negative, but we do understand, you know, in life that sometimes you have to, you know, because it's all a part of balance. But for the most part, man, we try to, you know, we try to have fun. And, you know, I don't believe too much in to like, the, you know, the host and the guests arguing and stuff like that. Like, I try to stay away from that part of it. But, you know, sometimes it may happen.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's... Yeah, definitely. It's and especially when you're talking about bigger issues in life as well. I think it's always going to happen every now and again. But I guess it depends on the people as well. Some people can have a good discussion without an argument as well, which I think is really important. And that's kind of, you know, that's what comes across in the podcast. Although largely I find when I've been listening that people actually agree with what's being said, which is quite nice as well, because it's hard to argue with positivity and motivational messages and things like that, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, exactly. So let's. Can you let the audience know, just before we go on, just in case, you know, we know commuting times and things, you know, we know that eventually people can stop listening because they finish their commute. So let people know where to find your podcast now, and then obviously we'll remind them later on. But let people know now.
Yeah, so you can find us on www.bntpodcast.club. That's our, you know, that's our website, and it'll take you to everything, you know, to the YouTube page, Instagram, all the audio recordings, to the merchandise store, you know. But if you want to bypass all that, you can always find us on Instagram at B_N_T podcast, or you can find us on YouTube at just Bare Naked Truth Podcast.
Excellent. Yeah, and I'll put links to all of that in the description below as well, just to make it easier for people to find it. So if they haven't taken all of that in, it is down there, so you don't need to rewind or anything. You just keep listening and just go there afterwards. So let's get in musically then. Let's start talking that. In terms of music, give me an overview of the kind of things you listen to. What the favorite genres, etc.
Actually, I would say my favorite genre is probably hip hop. I'm still, you know, I'm kind of older, so I still listen to like a lot of the stuff from the 90s, early 2000s. Just recently here, I actually started listening to a little bit more country, so I'm expanding a little bit, you know, getting into that. Some R&B. Those are probably my top three right there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very much with you on the hip hop side of things. I'm very much an old school hip hop person when it comes to that. When it comes to that genre, saying that, I have been listening to a few newer hip hop artists lately, actually. But yeah, no, I'm very much with you on that one. So let's go into favorite artists and things. Give people an example of the kind of things you listen to based on artists, so we know specifically more within those genres.
Okay, favorite artists. Ooh, that's a good one. So going back, probably, you know, as far as I can remember, my first favorite artist, let's take it back a little bit, probably talk about Michael Jackson, MC Hammer, late 80s, going into the early 90s, you know, Wu-Tang, Snoop, Biggie, you know, before the allegations, R. Kelly.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But now I just got turned on to... Wheeler, his name, country guy. Wheeler Win something. I can't think of his name right now, but you know, I like his stuff. Luke Bryan, I like his stuff. You know, so I'm trying to expand a little bit.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm a big country guy myself as well. I mean, I would say that I do write a bit of music just on the side myself, just as a fun thing to do. And I write in the country, in country. So I'm very much a big country music fan. So feel free to talk away as much about that as you like with me. But yeah, no, I mean, in terms of like, yeah, I'm in agreement with you with the artists in terms of hip hop. I listen to a lot of the same ones as yourself. I don't know how much you're into talking the merging of genres. What are your thoughts on how country artists now are sort of taking hip hop and using hip hop and country, merging it all together, you know, making new sounds that way? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's cool, man. I think honestly, I would like to see more collaborations amongst the artists. Honestly.
Yeah.
because I feel like at this point, man, I think a lot of I think the genres are actually the same in a lot of ways, more than what people want to actually recognize. And it's like, you can listen to country like, and that's how I was. And I first started listening, I was like, wait a minute, I kind of like this. And then I started, getting a little bit more into it. And I'm like, okay, they have similar stories, in situations, and they speak about life issues. So I'm like, that would be dope if they could, mend them and do more collaborations.
I'm so with you there. I being part of the country music community, I guess that I have been in some way, I'm so tired of people going, that's not country, simply because it's using hip hop beats or it sounds poppy or whatever. I'm like, genres move on, they adapt, they evolve. A pop song used to sound like the Carpenters, let's say. And look at pop music now, it doesn't sound anything similar, but you still say it's pop. So why do you do the same with country? And the more genre bending, the better, because it's experimentation, it's progressive in a genre that isn't particularly progressive, which is country music. It looks back. Whilst I think the one thing about hip hop is it always looks forward and it always tries to do something new.
Well, it does, but what happens too is a lot of the older people we try to stop the growth. And we'll say the same thing, like, oh, well, that's not hip hop, that's not rap. And it's like, well, that's the same thing our parents was telling us when we were growing up. So I understand that repeating, but what some of these younger artists are doing now, man, is amazing with the stuff that they can create and the way they do it. So it's like, why not push it forward? You don't want it to be stagnant. You want to see you to elevate.
There's no point in things staying still, because when they do, the market just becomes oversaturated and boring. And people just listen, when it gets boring, people just listen to the best of the best. They don't give anything new a chance. So if you want to get a chance, they do something new that's different,
Exactly.
and
Stand
I
out.
think, yeah, exactly, stand out. And I think that's happening in these genres, especially country music, actually, because as I say, traditionally a genre that is very anti-change, extremely anti-change, and now it's changing so much and doing great things. But because of that, you've then got the rise of independent country and people like Zach Bryan, Tyler Childers, these people coming out who are a bit more throwback, I guess. Whilst most people like, I don't know, people like Kane Brown's a great example of someone who mixes genres, uses hip hop beats, trap beats, etc. He's brilliant at that. And yeah, I actually really admire him for his experimentation, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in that genre
Yeah,
for sure.
and I want to say also too, there's nothing wrong with keeping it keeping the, I guess you could say like the roots or the
Oh yeah.
base of the of the genre, but at the same time, there's nothing wrong with experimenting,
We're doing something new, exactly.
because yeah, and I feel like that with hip hop, like I listen to a lot of the older stuff, but I listen to the newer stuff also. So it's like, when I hear people like maybe Griselda or J. Cole, it's like, okay, you're giving me a new feel, still giving me the old school vibes from what I grew up listening to. So it's like you're actually capturing more fan base that way, because you're now giving me something to listen to, and you gave my son something to listen to. You know what I mean?
No,
So.
I totally agree. I mean, I'm, as I say, I predominantly listen to a Tribe Called Quest, to be honest, because I love them so much. I think they're great. And MF Doom, I
Okay,
listen to
cool.
him a
Yeah, I
lot.
mean.
Yeah, a bit of Scarface, which is obviously a collaboration project, which I've always liked. I like the individual people in these projects as well. But who else do I like? I love The Roots. I love
Okay.
NWA. I'm really into that old school stuff. Tupac as well. Like, I mean, it's all the big guns really that I'm into, the bigger guys. But in terms of like newer stuff, because that's where I'm not as good. There's a few that I've been listening to lately that I'm dabbling with. But who would you recommend for someone like me who's A to get something brand new and sounds new to me, but also still has the old school vibe to it?
Okay, so I would say new old school vibe, of course I would go probably start off with J. Cole and Kendrick. Maybe some Pusha T. I like Benny the Butcher, you know, Griselda, their whole camp, what they're doing over there.
Yeah.
You know, actually 21 Savage right now, man. I've really taken a liking to his music here lately. You know, him, Lil Baby. And there's probably more too that I just can't think of right off top. But you know, they give you that feeling. Of course, you know, you got Wayne and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Always, you know, gives you that good blend of, you know, new music, but the lyricism and wordplay of the older artists.
Yeah, I mean, interesting you mentioned Kendrick Lamar there, because he's an artist who I've never listened to one of his albums in full at all, but I've listened to some independent songs, and there's a song on his album, I think it's To Pimp a Butterfly, I think. It's on there, and it's a little song. It's not a big song, but it's called I, just the letter I, lowercase.
Yeah,
I love that song. That's so good. It's a really great song. I love it. But yeah, see, these are some of these guys that you mentioned here. They're all in my playlist in some way, shape, or form. But it's I've never listened to fully. It's just when they come up on another playlist that I've listened to or something. And I go, I'm out and about, and I Shazam it or whatever. You know, it's just when I picked them up that way. So yeah,
that's what happens to me too with a lot of the newer artists. Like, they may come across a playlist and you know, I hear them be like, okay, I like the song, but I never really, you know, I've been to their albums and their catalogs.
Yeah,
it's a lot of. You know, there's a lot of good music out there.
Definitely. I got sent a reel recently on Instagram, and it was five songs you need to listen to be able to expand your you know, music taste type thing. And I thought, all right, I'll give it, because someone who's into majority of genres in some way, shape or form, whether it be big or small, I thought I'll give it a go and see. And there was one song on there that just blew me away, and I went and listened to the guy's album. It's called Tizo Touchdown. I don't know if you've heard of him.
I've heard of him, but never heard his music.
Yeah. So he's got an album out, came out last year, and he's brought out a deluxe edition this year of the same album. And I put it on, and straight away I was blown away, because I sat there going, I know, I think most people call it rap rock music kind of thing. Like, you know, going back to the Beastie Boys and things like that, you know, it's rap rock.
Yeah.
But I've never heard it like this. It was just the blend of rock music and hip hop was incredible. I can't describe it without actually playing it, if that makes sense. He's incredible. And he's got this amazing way of just being really, really harsh and heavy, and then the next song he'll just be as delicate as a flower. And it's just, yeah, the contrast between it is incredible. Like, yeah, that's my recommendation. Tizo Touchdown.
I definitely check him out. I think my son has told me about him, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's great.
He may have played a few clips in the car. I'm going to have to, you know, really go back and ask him. But I think, you know, I know I've heard of him. I haven't really paid attention to the music. I know I've heard of him.
Yeah, I mean, he's incredible. Like, I can't describe him enough to make him sound really good, because he's just great.
Yeah.
So have you got any favorite albums within the hip hop genre, or favorite songs, either way, shape or form, that you think people might not know so much and should get in? It doesn't have to be hip hop, actually, it'd be any genre, to be honest. But albums people might not know that they could probably get into.
You mean like recently or just
overall? Of all time, I'd say.
Oh man, yeah, I have. I would say my favorite albums would probably be albums that didn't sell a lot, but they were just incredible albums. So we had Black Rob's first album, Life Story. My favorite, definitely a classic. I don't know if y'all are familiar with an artist named Nature. He has an album called For All Seasons. Love that album. I probably say those, because every other album I think people would be familiar with. Actually, and I want to add Drake and 21 Savage, Her Loss. I think that was a solid album.
Yeah, I mean, as you said these, I've literally gone onto Spotify and just written them down and downloaded the albums as you've been saying them. So I'll be listening to them. I'll take any recommendation I can. But yeah, no, I mean, it's great. I mean, especially the Nature one. I mean, that's old. That's of the era of old school hip hop that I like. So I'm very much looking forward to listening to that one. Yeah, it's I always like asking people about them. I always sit there thinking we can ask about favorite albums. You know, I mean. I might ask you your favorite album of all time potentially at some point, but you know, I think the albums that people like that they believe other people won't know is always more interesting. Simply because it gives people a reason to go and listen to them if they don't know them as well, and it opens up this music to other people. So we've already spoken a bit about, because you did mention about your parents saying, you know, doing the same thing, saying that that's not the music we know kind of thing. What was actually playing in your household when you were growing up? I love these questions because I don't come from a musically inclined family, yet I love music. So
the stuff that I would hear that I wasn't playing, you know, I would hear James Brown, a lot of gospel music. You know, my father and my stepmom played a lot of gospel music. My mom, she played Patti LaBelle, Anita Baker. At its night, you know, honestly, you know, I think that's where my love for it came from, because Patti LaBelle is actually one of my favorite artists also, I forgot to mention. And, you know, I just went to see her perform for the first time last year. And that was amazing. You know, for her to be her age and still getting on stage, singing the way she does,
performing
at that level, you know, that was just amazing. So, you know, and I listen to a lot of old school R&B. So that was basically what was playing in my house. And even now that I'm grown, that plays a lot in my house.
Yeah.
You know, R&B from like the 70s and 80s and the 60s and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. We've got, in the UK, a lot of the R&B that was playing in the 80s, they get termed as club classics, is what we call them here a lot of the time. Because that's so, they are commonplace in nightclubs, and then they're commonplace for DJs to remix them as well still in the UK. So, that feels like my university days at times. Okay. That's what was playing in what they call the cheese room, was all the cheesy music. It's like, this is the music I like. This isn't cheesy. I like it. This isn't cheesy. things like it's a lot of stuff like with Luther Vandross, Alexander O'Neill. Who else would be? Shaka Khan would be in there. Yeah. Like these kind of artists, they get a lot of spinning in those rooms. It's a good question to ask you actually, because I don't get to ask this to many people. As a father, what's your thoughts on having a child developing a music taste? Because as you said, your son, you know, you believe your son's been trying to introduce you to things. Do you feel like you should impart on it, or give him his own, or let him have his own taste?
I like it because, you know, one thing I didn't tell you is I used to do music. So, you know, it was, to me, it was definitely different from how my parents felt about me getting into music. So when I was getting into music, my parents were like, oh, you know, it's just a fad. You'll get over it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, I was doing music for a long time. And, you know, I've traveled, I've been on shows, I've had, you know, videos on TV, songs on the radio. So I've basically done everything besides become like a super mega star that I wanted to do with music. And so when my son was little, the funniest thing ever, I have a daughter too that's 3 years older than him. And so the funniest thing was one day they didn't know I was watching them. So they were in the living room and I came downstairs and I went to the kitchen, but I went the back way to get into the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I heard them doing a rap battle against each other. And I thought that was the cutest thing ever. So, you know, so that really, you know, really I was like, okay, cool. You know, they like music and stuff like that. My daughter, she has more of an older palette. So she listens to like all the stuff I listen to from like the 90s, 80s, especially the hip hop and all of that. And then R&B. My son, he's more into the more current stuff, but you know, I didn't know which way he would go in the music. I always thought maybe he would try to rap. You know, he likes to sing. He doesn't rap too much, but now he's getting to the point where he, you know, he can play the keyboard basically by ear.
So he can listen
to a song a few times and he can almost play it completely. And lately he came in here like, Dad, look, you know, he likes to blend sounds. So what he'll do is take, like, The Weeknd is one of his favorite artists. He can take vocals from one song and put them on a completely different song. And he's like, look, the tone and pitch and the beats match. And I'm like, how do you know all this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And, you know, he's even started trying to, you know, make his own beats and stuff. So, you know, I'm all for it, you know.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, come to me, man. Talk to me. Let me know. I help you in the way I can. You know, if you need a beat machine, you need an ASR, you know, an MPC, whatever, you know, talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, I mean, it's nice to hear as well. Do you just kind of let them go with the flow and do what they want and don't try and dictate, you know? Because especially like... I've noticed this in the past with people, like sometimes in musically inclined families, should I say, where the parents are big music fans, they kind of try to show the children what they think is good rather than actually just letting them discover it themselves. Because if you're playing it around the house, they'll discover it, right? It's not, if they ignore it, it's for a reason. Like, you know, so let them get on with it themselves kind of thing. So,
I do show them some things, you know, I may be like, like, if he plays a song, he likes the song that's new, and I'd be like, oh, you know that came from a song that I listened to when I was growing up. Really?
Yeah.
Check this out.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And be like, you
do
know,
it based on,
and the
let them lead it, because it's their song that started the conversation, isn't it? Yeah, that makes sense, yeah. Yeah.
No.
A recommendation for if your daughter's into R&B, and she's into, recommendation for her is, I don't know if you know the artist, is Cleo Soul. And this is a recommendation that came to me from the podcast, Cleo Soul.
Okay.
She will, her mind will be blown when she listens to that. It will be blown. She'll love it, as my mind was when I did. Like, she will love it. You mentioned that you used to do music then. I need to know more about that. Definitely.
Okay. Let's talk.
Definitely need to know more. So what kind of music did you do? Is there anywhere to find your music, et cetera, those kind of things?
I did hip hop. And I actually still have my videos up on YouTube. I haven't been that page in forever, but they're still there. you know what I mean? So, you know, if you want to look them up, man, I was under, my stage name was Premise the Wild Child. And, you know, I had, music videos up, man. I did about maybe 400 shows. You know, I traveled you know, up and down the East Coast here and in the States, man. And you know, I opened up for artists like Ron Browse, Montel Jordan, Jim Jones,
some big artists there.
Yeah, you know, and it was fun, man. You know, performed on many stages, many different festivals. You know, yeah, I did everything I wanted to do musically besides, you know, get signed to a major label and become a superstar, but I'm content.
So were you an independent artist then when you were doing it?
Yeah.
It's so interesting because as someone who has recorded their own things just in their bedroom, but obviously I do all mine with guitars and as organic as I can in that regard, in terms of like, it's analog more so than digital. What's it like creating digital music? Because obviously I imagine like you're using samples and things like that. You're doing it mostly digitally. I mean, if I'm wrong, let me know, but what's it like creating that?
Digital was different. Like when I first really started wanting to do music, everything was still analog. So, you know, they still had like the DAT tapes and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
When I actually finally got into the studio, it was transitioning from analog to digital.
Yeah.
So, you know, people were still starting to do more things with software as opposed to hardware.
Yeah.
And you know, I was probably about 16 when I recorded my first actual verse. And the studio was actually more digital. It was in my homeboy's house. And this is like, just to take it back, I don't know if you remember the old computer microphones that used to have, recorded using that. And you know, but digital is different because as an analog, you have to go back and re-record everything yourself. Digital is like, you know, if you mess up, it's like, okay, we'll just cut this off, get rid of that. Okay, pick up from right here. Yeah, I want to layer that. Yeah, I already layered it. Go ahead, you know. You know, so it's definitely you know, it has its pros and its cons. The bad thing about digital is stuff gets lost. It can get corrupted. Files get messed up, and you know, that's basically the downside of digital. So it was cool, man. You know, I liked it.
Yeah, it's I mean, I guess in some ways it's using the tools to its fullest, isn't it? Because you can just erase what's there if you need and redo very easily. And also I mean, I guess it takes the pressure off because you can make a mistake and keep going, I guess, because you just it's such a quick fix afterwards, isn't it? But yeah, no, I yeah, it's a different world to what I'm used to, so it's quite interesting just to know. And you were there for the transition, which is also quite a special thing to see that as well. So yeah, so I want to talk about with someone who's not in the well, you kind of you technically are, but someone who I would say currently isn't in the music industry at the moment. I want to talk about how you listen to music. What's the listening format that you listen to?
You know, it's probably the way everybody else does. I mean, I still have CDs and stuff like that, but you know, for the most part, I stream just for the convenience because you know you have it on your phones and you know it really beats having a CD book with 200 CDs in it and you're trying to drive and flip through CDs and find one to listen to and just curate a playlist of my own and play whatever I like. Yeah, so you know, I probably streaming is probably better. My son, he's into records, so now he's buying records. You know that those are coming back into the mix. My daughter, she streams. You know, so yeah, we probably streaming mostly. You know, YouTube for videos and stuff.
Yeah, I'm before I say anything, I will say I am pro streaming, by the way. I am predominantly a record collector. I do have some CDs, but I am pro streaming. I mostly listen to music streaming because, let's be honest, I mostly listen to new music that's recently out because I like to be up to date due to having a podcast and things like that. But I also listen in the car and in on the tube and things like that when I'm going to work. So yeah, I'm definitely very I'm pro streaming. I'm not necessarily pro the way the streaming services do it, but I am
Yeah, this
pro the
sucks, man.
idea of
And
it.
the quality is trash also. We being honest, the streaming quality is trash. I didn't realize that until some years back when I learned the difference between a waveform and an MP3. And I actually had a song that I recorded and it was sent to me in a WAV file. So I was playing it and I'm like, wow, okay, but you know, I had to send it somewhere else. And they were like, we need it in an MP3. A WAV file is too big. So I made it to an MP3, then I played the song back and I'm like, wait a minute, lost not a whole lot of the quality, but it lost a little bit of the quality. It didn't sound as crisp as it did in the WAV file. And that's the only probably my only beef with streaming versus like CDs, tapes and records. You get a better sound from the actual source as opposed to, you know, streaming it over,
Yes, exactly.
downloading it.
It's very much it's a compressed sound, isn't it? It's really compressed. And the same with, I mean, CDs are exceptionally compressed as well, but the difference is it's still from the source. And the CD, if you go by actual technical specifications of fidelity, the CD is technically the highest fidelity way to listen as well. So it's not the best sound, and I notice it when I use Bluetooth onto my record player with my phone. I notice that it's streaming just it makes streaming sound good, but it doesn't sound as good as an analog format through that player, you know? So it's still not not quite there. It sounds okay in headphones when you're walking around and things. That's what it's mainly there for. But yeah, outside of that, outside of that, it really doesn't work very well. I'm sure, as someone who was an independent artist at one point, I'm sure you're probably pretty annoyed, as I am, with Spotify. I believe they said that they're not going to pay money for any song that has under 1,000 streams anymore. And I'm like,
the way they stream is just such a disservice to the artist, honestly. Because, you know, if we actually look at the metrics, I think they say like 1,500 album play.
Yeah.
It's like, but that's a lot for an album, especially for, you know, let's say an independent artist who may not have the same attention as a Drake or a 21 Savage, a Lil Baby, or something like that. So it's like, so you're paying me these small pennies, and I have to get 1,500 plays to get an album play.
And, yeah,
you know, that's
that's
crazy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So
I think someone has to give them that play as well. They have to, so it's not an individual song play. I think they have to listen to a certain percentage of the tracks on the album as well, which is also ridiculous, because, you know, I sometimes listen to an album on commute, and I'm not going to lie, if it's say some albums now are going up to 15, 16 tracks regularly. Artists are releasing that now, and if I'm on the tube going to my work, it's only a half an hour journey. If I catch the trains quickly, it's even less, so I'm only listening to half the album, but I would say I've listened to that album, because that's the time I'm giving that album. I might not go back to it and listen to the rest, but I've listened to that album, and it's not counting that as an album stream, but that's really not fair, because that's my intended listening to an album. I would have bought that album otherwise if I wasn't streaming to listen to it. So it's like, well, why can't I would like to just be able to tick a button and say I meant this as an album stream rather than individual songs, but I can't figure out that listening to them in order is your attempt to listen to the album. It can't figure it out, which I think is stupid in and of itself. I think it should be a lot
especially
better.
Now, man, with the way we consume music a lot, I look at now music is more like how like background music would be played in a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
For example, you know, you listen to it on the way to work. So do I.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it feels in that time where you have time, but you don't really have time. So it's like, okay, well, you know, I'm driving, I'm on the train, I'm walking, I'll play it for something, but once I get to my destination, more than likely I'm cutting it off. I may not come back to it right away. I may, but
yeah.
At that time, it stops. So now it's like, okay, so work that this artist put in the 30 to 45 minutes or 10 minutes maybe, or the five minutes, whatever it is that you gave them, you couldn't give them a whole nickel for the play that they just got for me?
Yes.
Be able to get like a point percentage of a penny? That's crazy.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's like, I look at it this way. Like, I have so many artists who come on this podcast, and obviously through my research, I might listen to their song 10 odd times, let's say. That 10 times now, if they've still got less than 1,000 streams on it, because they're an independent up and coming artist, there's a chance that they may do, especially if the song's only just come out and it's a new single. They're not getting anything for my 10 listens. That's 10 listens. That's huge, the amount of listens. I've given them I mean, times 5 by 10, that's 50 minutes of my life. Think of it that way, if it's a 5-minute song. And like, I've given them that and they've not got anything for it. And you could say,
get 2 cents.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I sit there thinking, sometimes I feel like I'm the problem, and then I have to remember, no, I'm not. I'm not the problem. I'm going with change. I'm pro-progress here. But the problem is those dictating the progress aren't dictating it in a way that is fair. So it's not me who's the problem. It's them who's the problem. I receive,
but the artist.
Exactly. So it's, I know a few people who don't, they don't stream because they don't pay the artists any money. And I'm like, okay. So what do you do instead? They go, well, I buy the record. Okay. If you streamed, you certainly listen to more albums than the records you buy anyway. I know you would. So still, that's some artists losing out. And then I go, but if you buy that record, you buy it once, all you then do is pay them once. Yes, you might pay them more, but if you then paid £10 for streaming, ordered the free version and streamed the album whilst you're out and about or whatever, you're giving them more money. You're actually benefiting them. You're taking money away by not doing both at the same time, which is what I do and what other people do. So it's like, I do think that that's a bit of a, there's a little bit of not prophecy or something. Something, there's a word for it. I can't think of it now. But yeah,
I know what you're thinking too.
Yeah,
false sense of security, maybe.
Yeah. So yes. Yeah. Exactly. Along those lines. Yeah. But yeah, there's that as well. So I think the best thing to do is really use both if you can, or if not, just at least stream and try and stream as much as you can, because that's the way the artists are getting found, is through streaming and playlisting and things like that. Or if they're lucky enough, they'll get onto an advert or get into a film score or something like that. You know, I mean, it's only this.
The other, you know, for artists also, man, I want to just throw this out here. You know, utilizing your social media platforms helps. Yeah. You know, sites like Bandcamp, where you can actually upload your music and people pay you, you know, directly, as opposed to, you know, going through you know, if you're really good and you can somehow amass like a cult following, let's say. Let's say, like, honestly, and I'm going to just throw this out here for artists, anyone who may be listening. So let's say you get and I'll just throw a random number out. Let's say you get 200 fans. Or let's say 500. We'll keep it small. 500 fans. Say you sell an album for $10 or whatever the price is. You know, if you can get 200 of those 500 to purchase an album, you actually make a nice little penny. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Of course, you want larger numbers so you can, you know, constantly make money, but that's just a, you know, just a way to show you how to still make money without, you know, getting paid pennies per stream.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it covers costs. It covers costs of travel to gigs. It covers costs of you know, sometimes you might need to pay to be on a gig. It covers all of these costs, the cost of studio time, etc. Covers it all. So it is worth doing. I think there's
CDs,
a slight of actually getting them pressed. Yeah, exactly. I do think
also
it's...
too, I want to throw this out here real quick.
Yeah,
so the other trick, right, when you go to shows, so any artists who may still be listening, go to shows, same way you put your stuff on, let's say Bandcamp or something, you have something to give to the people so that they can take it with them.
Yes.
Even if it's, you know, you do incredible music, give them somewhere where they can find your music online.
Yeah.
And you sell it directly to them. So that way, you know, and you may do a gig with, let's say, 50 people, but if you sell 10 albums for $10, you just made $100 and you may be able to pay a bill or something, or, you know, help fund, you know, your next project in some kind of way, or get you a meal. You know, something, it'll be money that's going directly to you and not to these other entities where they say, okay, well, this $100 you're going to get.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean?
I think the idea of merch at gigs is so important. My only thing with merch at gigs is that in a world where it's, the only problem is with, and this isn't a criticism because I know the difficulties of this, but in a world where the cost of living crisis is a thing globally, and young people's wages aren't going up to meet that. In a world where you either have, where people are now having to choose their formats to buy things on. So you either, there's a lot of people now like myself, and I didn't do it for cost reasons. For me, it was I want more space to house more of them. So I went solely to vinyl pretty much. Other people have started just buying more CDs because it's cheaper. Whichever way, make sure if you can afford to get them made, make sure you have both formats, because there's so many times I go to gigs where I want to own the music by the artist, but I don't buy the CD simply because I don't have space to store CDs anymore. I don't want to own many CDs anymore. I want a vinyl. So if you can afford it and you can time it up well with your tour to get both pressed in time, then I will recommend doing that, because I know myself and multiple other people who will only buy one format and won't buy the other. And I think that's really important too. I think it's interesting what you say about the social media side of things. I think in some ways it's very much a shame that artists have to also be content creators, because the way they hit up is usually not just by posting some of their music, which is sad. But at the same time, I think instead of complaining, we need to use the tools that are at our, that are at our doorstep.
They work, and sometimes it could go against the favorite, because I've seen too where, an artist may create a song and they may not be a big artist. But then let's say their song is now on a video that goes viral. And the person who actually made it go viral will get more out of out of that than the actual artist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's like, yo, people can use your creation to get more out of it than you can.
Yes. Exactly. And I mean, this is something that that's quite interesting in the modern era, is things like when something does go viral and a song is used. A great example is the new film Saltburn that's out. The beauty of that film is that it went almost straight out of cinema, straight to Amazon Prime for free. Most people have Prime Video simply because they have Amazon Prime as well. Yep. So either way, the benefit, you pay for it, you get both of them. So you get delivery and video. So loads of people have been watching this film, and at the end, a song by Sophie Ellis Bextor's played. And Sophie Ellis Bextor's a reasonably large artist in the UK. I don't know if she's well known in the US or not, but she's a reasonably big enough artist here. Well, she's a big enough artist here. She's had about, I would say she's had 3 or 4 big hits, really. I mean, she might have had a number one. I can't remember if she did, but it's quite famous, a lot of her music. And her song has blown up on TikTok, that's used at the end of this film, and people are dancing around their house reenacting the final scene, spoilers, reenacting the final speech, not that I've given much away, but the final scene of that film. And like, she gets a couple of interviews from it, but the difference is she's getting paid, I assume she'll be getting paid by TikTok for every single time that is used. I think they have to do that in some way for the sounds. I'm not sure, so I hope that is the case, but imagine that happens to an unsigned artist. Imagine it happens. And how big that becomes.
What else to do? Syncing, licensing the music. You know, it's a lot of ways that, artists can get paid. Now, the only downside to that is, for someone who makes music, a lot of us aren't really in tune to the business. We just want to create. So it's like, knowing the business side can be kind of daunting, or you have to get, you have to take away from your creative time to learn the business or hire people to do the business for you. So it can, cause some conflicts there, especially if you just want to create. Like, your goal is like, I just want to put out music. That's it. I don't want to deal with the politics of everything.
Oh yeah, the politics of the music industry is utterly ridiculous. And I think more so now, because I think in a world where there's I think in some ways, in a world where there's less money in music, like as in the industry, because of the way these streaming companies work and things like that, I think there's more drive and desire to make money, which then makes it worse for the artists once again. And the artists just lose out. And they're the ones who are selling their heart and soul, their whole... to be honest, they are the product. As an artist, it's not just the music. They are also the product. They are literally putting themselves out like that. And they're not getting their fair due. But they're not getting that fair due at all. So in a world where that's the case, I just think, I don't know how to describe it. I just wish it was better. I really do. And that's partially why I do this podcast and I don't make money from it. It's because I want to be like, hey, I'm one of you. And I'm not saying that, hey, I'm one of you, because I couldn't make money. It's more the fact that I'm like, look, I'm one of you, as in like, I get the struggle. I understand it. I want to help, And that's why I have a lot of artists on like that.
I've been there, man. Like, as an up and coming artist, trying to do stuff, man. And you're paying for your studio time, you're paying for your production, you're paying for travel, you're paying for room and board, you're paying to eat, you're paying for signs, you're paying for everything. And then it's almost a spit in the face of someone be like, oh, you have to invest into your career. Like, excuse me?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I literally just put up $2,000 just to come perform here, and I didn't get paid.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So, don't tell me about investing.
We forget that so many artists play for free still. Even if there's a price of ticket on the door, they're playing for free just to be heard. And you're like, you sit there going, oh, what is it? They're just going like, why is this industry like this? At least if you have like, even if 10 people turn up and they're paid £10, they pay £10 for a ticket. If 10 people turn up to see this person, give them £20 just to cover the cost of their travel. Don't let them walk away for free. Like, give them something so it doesn't cost them. Because it's not fair. It just isn't fair in any way.
Give you exposure. That was one of the things here. Like, now lately I have noticed, just in my area, I don't know how other areas do it, but in my areas I've noticed, you know, a lot of the artists are starting to get more traction. You know, they're getting paid for shows and stuff now, which I think is amazing. You know, at least, like you said, just getting something out of it, you know, because I was coming up, it was, oh, you want to open up for this artist? Yeah, cool. You know, well, you could get exposure.
Yeah.
I'm like, but they didn't come to see me, so they really, they're just going to bypass what I'm doing. You know, maybe a few people who listen, but they're going to bypass. Okay, well, you know what? At least, if anything, I got some good footage and good photos out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, you use those, you know, on your platform.
Yeah, but it's, but ultimately, it's like, it's an artist sacrificing for a chance to get some exposure. It's not even guaranteed, is it? Like, it's just a chance, and it's like, that's just, it's just unfair. I will say, actually, you did say that, obviously saying about the, you know, artists starting to get paid for gigs and things more. I will say, I have noticed post-COVID, the gigs I go to have been a lot busier. Like, a lot busier. It's almost like people having that taken away from them has made them realize, oh, hang on, we should get out there and actually do this, because what if it gets taken away again? And in the music industry, live music is something that is at risk. There's venues. Every week I see a news story about a venue somewhere that has you know, gone out of business. Yes, I see the occasional one about a new venue being set up, but it's more going out of business than not. So, in a world where that is the case, I think people need to go out and support it. And I think that's definitely happening more now. And I think, I think we're just starting to get more traction to live music, let alone anything else. So it is kind of in a good space. I don't think it's still in the best space it can be. I think it'd be better for the artists in the long way. But, it is in a good place, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I like it, man. I like seeing the independent artists, man, you know, get more recognition and exposure and stuff like that. I definitely think it's cool. You know, I've seen, you know, some man who, you know, they're constantly traveling and on the road and doing gigs and getting paid, you know, so. And me, you know, like I said, I'm far removed from music now. I've stopped over 10 years ago. But just seeing it is like, you know, it's almost like, you know, I'm not saying they're my kids, but it's like watching children. It's like, okay, yo, I'm glad to see y'all, you know.
Yeah.
Y'all actually coming up and you know, again, you're just due. Something that we may not have been able to do back when I was doing it.
Yeah, exactly. As someone who's been there before, you're kind of looking at them with admiration and also feeling proud that it's kind of like the work that people, you know, at your time put into it. It's kind of helped lead up to it, hasn't it, in a way? You know, making sure you're maintaining. Because I think there's definitely a point where probably between in the 2010s, to be honest, when live music did struggle most. And I think it's definitely in a much better place now than it was then.
Definitely.
So I think we're definitely moving on. What I want to do, as we start wrapping up the podcast, I would like to run some quick fire questions with you. Is that okay?
Okay, yeah, let's do it. Yeah?
Cool. So these are, can be music related, can also not be. I usually do this mainly for musician guests, but also because you're someone who's got a podcast and you are on to let people know about that. I also want to do these with you as well. I think it'd be worth doing. And technically you are also a musician guest as well, because you have been in the industry doing it. Feel free though to make your answers as long as you like. I call them quick fire. They can go on as long as you need them to, so don't worry. So the first question I'm going to ask, and these are the all-time type questions: who's your favorite artist of all time, if you had to pick one?
Favorite artist of all time, Wu-Tang Clan.
Sorry, what was that? Sorry,
Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, Wu-Tang Clan. Oh, I forgot to mention them earlier. I should have mentioned them when I say,
out of everything, definitely top.
Yeah. One of the interesting thing about Wu-Tang Clan, I can remember, did they not make a Mega Drive controller or something like that in the shape of the logo? I might be wrong there, but I think they did. Yeah. This weird gaming controller in the shape of the logo.
Yeah. And one thing too, I think Wu-Tang was one of the first groups I remember doing like the digital interactions with their fans when they dropped the Wu-Tang Forever CD.
Mm.
You could actually, I think, I don't know if it was the CD or if it came with an extra CD that you could play in your computer.
Yeah.
And like they gave you like a tour of the Wu-Tang Mansion and all that stuff. But yeah.
Yeah. I just love Into the Wu-Tang. I think that's such a great album. Let's move on then to what is your all-time favorite album?
All-time favorite album.
Yeah.
That's a good one. All-time favorite. Doggy Style by Snoop.
Oh, really?
His first album.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's my favorite of his albums, to be fair. So I'm in agreement with you there. I like a bit of Snoop every now and again. I like his meme ability. I find him hilarious as well. He's just a funny man. It's a great album, that. Favorite song of all time?
I never thought you know what? I take that back. Favorite song of all time would probably be Scenario, Tribe Called Quest, and Leaders of New School.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
Okay. Matter of fact, it's two. I'm sorry. And Gangstar, they had a song called Gwyk, Gwyk.
Mm.
Those two would probably be my two favorite songs.
Excellent. Yeah, no, I know the one by Tribe Called Quest, but I'll take the other one as a recommendation. Mm-hmm. And I'll have a listen to that at some point in the next week or so. What's your? I always say this. Anyone who comes on, if they mention something I don't know, I'm like, I'll jot it down. I've already done that into Spotify already. What's your favorite non-musical sound? Very specific question, but I like sound. It. Yeah, non-musical, so not to do with music, like birdsong or something like that.
Non-musical sound. White noise of rainfall.
Rainfall. Yeah. Rainfall's nice. Especially when weirdly, I like rainfall when I'm trying to sleep. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a wrong time to have the sound of rainfall, but I really like it. What's your favorite smell?
Favorite smell. Probably apple.
What was that, sorry?
Apple pie.
Oh, apple pie. Oh,
like the smell of the air. Oh, that smell. That's just like a everyday smell, you know.
Yeah. No, apple pie. We don't get much apple pie here. When we do, it's often we have it with custard and things like that here. So I don't know if you do where you are, but we have it with custard. So you get the smell of the custard as well with it. We get both of them. What's your best way to spend a Sunday evening?
Sunday evening, shooting my podcast.
Oh, nice, nice. Is that when you usually do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So nice. we're on a break right now. So I'm like, you know, I'm trying to get everything in that I can, you know, you know, guest features. Go on other people's shows, stuff like that. But yeah, we're on a break, but we'll start back up in March. And yeah, so Sunday evening is definitely shooting my podcast. If I'm not shooting the podcast that weekend and there's no football going on, then I'm probably just relaxing and not doing much.
Yeah, nice, nice. Nice. If you ever want me to come on the podcast, by the way, do let me know and I'll be there because I need to return the favor at some point. So if you ever just let me know.
I'm gonna definitely reach out to you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, please do. So I think you just answered it there, but what's your favorite sport?
Favorite sport? Football.
Is that American football? Not soccer. Yeah. I wish I knew more about
it. Well, soccer's actually cool though, but we don't get that much over here, but definitely
American. Yeah, because over here it is all soccer, or as we say, football. It is all that is the big sport here. But yeah, American football is actually on telly quite a bit. Simply because of the time difference, it actually, well, when it gets played, it's in a good time slot when nothing's played here. So the sports channels can play a lot of American football and a lot of NFL. And obviously, it's obviously a huge thing about the Super Bowl, and we get some games played here as well. So there is quite a bit of interest out there. I don't know enough at all. I'm more of a basketball fan when it comes to sports from the US. So,
Okay.
but.
Basketball, close second.
Yeah, I love basketball. I've always enjoyed it. I love how fast paced it is, because used to a game of soccer, which isn't. Basketball's so fast paced, it's like one extreme to the other. I love it. It's so fast paced. Yes, and what was the last movie you watched?
Last movie I watched.
Mine was Salt
Training
Man.
Day.
Was that Training Day?
Training Day. I watched it yesterday.
Yeah, it's a great film, isn't it?
Definitely a
Yeah.
favorite.
Is a Snoop Dogg in that? He is, isn't he?
There you
Yeah.
go.
Is a Snoop Dogg in that? Yeah, I thought he was. It's a great film. Yeah,
He
I like
got a
that one.
small scene there. That
Yeah,
was the
yeah.
last movie I watched. I watched that yesterday.
Yeah, that's a great film. I love that film. Yeah, so I think what we should do, I want to say thank you so much for coming on the podcast, but can you let
Appreciate you for
everyone
having me,
know? Oh,
man.
not a problem at all, not a problem, anytime. Can you let everyone know once again where they can find the Bare Naked Truth podcast?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So you can find us at www.bntpodcast.club. That's the website. That's the hub for everything. That's our audio podcast, video podcast, merch. You can also reach all our social media through there. But if you want to be direct, you can also go to Instagram. And you can find us at B_N_T podcast. Go there, click it. You'll see the icon. It'll say Bare Naked Truth Podcast. Click it, follow us. That's about the best way to find us on YouTube, Bare Naked Truth Podcast. And hashtag BNT Podcast. You put that in Google or anywhere, everything BNT Podcast will pop.
Perfect, excellent. I'll put all the links and everything in the description below for people. Is there anything we
I
can expect
appreciate
in?
it.
But no, it's not a problem at all. Is there anything we can expect to see coming up from the Bare Naked Truth podcast? Any hints you want to give to anyone or anything?
So we start our next season 11, in March. This year we'll make 5 years we've been podcasting. We do have some more things coming up. I have some more shows that I've been producing. We have BNT TV coming. And I'm actually letting cats out the bag here. But we have another show we're doing called Black Cousin, which is going to be me and one of my buddies from long time ago, a 20-year friend. We have that show coming. And some more stuff too. We don't have titles yet for, but yes. And we'll also soon be on a TV app called GoatVerse, which is available on Roku and Fire Stick. We also may have that. So yeah, we got a lot coming up.
Perfect. That's great. Let me know when it does come up, and I'll run like some stories on my side as well, just to let
I
people
appreciate
know,
it,
and
man.
all the people that'll be listening to this basically lets them know when it happens and everything. And I would say you've definitely got a subscriber in me, and I think everyone else should subscribe to the podcast.
Thank you, thank
All
you.
these it's not a problem at all. These numbers always help. I know as a podcaster myself, so do go subscribe. But I would like to say thank you so much for coming on. Really
Pleasure,
appreciate
man.
it. We'll wrap up quickly afterwards.
Okay.
I want to say just thank you so much for coming on. It's been a great episode.
No problem. I appreciate you for having me, man. You keep doing what you do too, man. I like this.
Yeah, will do. Will do. Not a problem. Thank you.
Great. All right.
Okay, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that. Your time means absolutely everything, and I have gone on a little bit longer than I wanted to, but I say that I don't mind going on for longer than I
Okay.
wanted to. I mean, it's longer than you probably want is what I mean. I've done 90 plus minute episodes when the
Oh
person
no,
said
man.
that they're happy to. So
This was easy, man.
I'm
I
always happy.
definitely enjoyed it. Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely enjoyed it, man. So yeah.
No, thank you so much. And as I say, I'm happy to return the favor if you need a British guest, let's say, or something. I don't know. Anything you
Hey
need
man, I
before,
will do,
let
man.
me
You
know.
know, I like you know, definitely, man.
Yeah.
Like I said, I believe in collaborating, man, crossing over,
Yeah.
and we actually have a nice international following also. So,
Yeah.
anytime,
Yeah.
I'll definitely bring you on and we can make something happen.
Yeah, thank you, man. Yeah, thank you. No, I appreciate that. It's yeah. I mean, I've listened to your podcast, so I know what goes on there. And it'd be perfect and easy to come on. It's a easy listening podcast, I think, which is nice. There's some podcasts that are just so hard to listen to, and you just sit there trying, and you're like, I have to turn this off. But yours is so easy listening. It's just like I can just put it on whenever. I've been listening to it on the way to work and back. It's great. Few episodes just to make sure I know what's going on, and I've just got a bit hooked on it. although I've listened to these episodes all a couple of weeks late, to be honest. Because you've had your break, obviously when you come back I'll be listening as they come out, so I love it,
man. You know, all of it helps, man. A year from now, thank you.
Yes, exactly. Yes, no worries. I'll let you get on with the rest of your day, because I know you're quite a few hours back. So I'll let you get on with the rest of your day, and I just want to say a final thank you, because I appreciate it so much.
And I appreciate you too, man.
No worries. Actually, a couple of things before we go. I just want to say this episode, just so you know, this one will come out probably around early March time, unless you need it earlier. Okay. If you need it earlier, let me know and I can drop it in as a double episode week. It's not a problem. But if I keep going the way I am weekly, it'll be early March. Is that all right for you?
That's cool with me.
Super. And the only other thing I need to ask is, if you don't mind, are you able to send me a selfie just so I can use that for promo purposes? You've probably seen on my page what I do, but I just use it for promo material, basically. Are you all right to do that?
Yeah, I can see.
Yeah. Super. Cheers. Thank you for that. Cool. Thank you.
Once you put the episode out, man, you know, whatever you use from it, hey, feel free to tag me in it, man. I have no problem with that.
I will do. Yeah.
As much as you want.
I always invite every guest as a collaborator, I'll do it to the to the Bare Naked Truth page. I'll invite you as a collaborator, and I'll tag you in all the stories and things like that I run for promo and everything. So yeah, I'll do that for you.
Sweet.
No worries.
Appreciate it, man.
No, not a problem at all. Okay, no worries. I'll leave you to your evening.
I'll let you get on. Have a nice day.
No worries. You too. Cheers. Thank you. Bye.